Thank you for listening to the Catchify London podcast. For more information about CTF London, visit us on ctfl.life.
So I got given a title, which is a new experience for me because it's only since I came back a year ago that people gave me titles. Up until then, I was at Bethel. Nobody gives you a title at Bethel. You just get on with it. So basically, which is wonderful. But it's a title that only appears once in the Bible, in actual fact. Because there was me looking for the 34 references to the title that I was given so that I could play around with it. But it was, I am the King of Glory. That was the title, wasn't it? Just make sure you didn't want me to preach on something else today. It's like, I am the King of Glory. So there was an easy option for me because I wrote a book on glory. So there was an easy option for me to teach out of that. And I chose not to take that. So if you want to know more about that, I'll preach on glory some other time. Psalm 24 is where it all happens. The funny thing is, I can remember this. Can you remember His Kids, Sue, when we used to do His Kids? This was our passage for His Kids. So seven of us, including Sue and I, used to dress up in multicolored bib and braces, the colors of the rainbow. It's not going to happen. I have a video of it. And we had a thing called His Kids, which was the kids on Sunday mornings. We did get into trouble for it. Hey, that's all right. And we had little His Kids blessings, you know. We're His Kids and we're ready, you know. That's basically what we called ourselves. And this was our passage. And I hadn't read it in quite the same way for a while. So Psalm 24, God claims the world as His. We could stop there. Everything and everyone belongs to Him. He's the one who pushed back oceans. This is Passion Translation, by the way. To let the dry ground appear, planting firm foundations for the earth, who then ascends into the presence of the Lord and who has the privilege of entering into God's holy place. Those who are clean, whose works and ways are pure, whose hearts are true and sealed by the truth. Those who never deceive, whose words are sure, they will receive the Lord's blessing and righteousness given by the Savior God. They will stand before God, for they seek the pleasure of God's face, the God of Jacob. So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny. Welcome the King of Glory, for He is about to come through you. And you ask, who is this glory King? The Lord, armed and ready for battle, the Mighty One, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here He comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of Victory, armed and ready for battle, the Mighty One, the invincible commander of heaven's host. Yes, He is the King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? The series is I Am. Let me just go one quick place, which I think I did when I preached on a Sunday night. When I was given, I am the giver of dreams. So that was fun. That gave me a new message. The good thing about being given titles of messages, it makes me study something and it gives me new preaches that I would never have had if I hadn't studied it. And but the piece for me that I think is really important about this series, for me, and other people are teaching it from another perspective, is that when God commissioned Moses with I am, He said, tell them I am sent you. And I am sends every one of us. And then God said to Moses in Exodus 3:12, He said, you will know that it is I that sent you when you come back to this mountain and worship me. What does that mean? This is what I think it means. This is my bit. You can study and other theologians, they might tell you something else. But I think it means this. That when I worship Him, who's the I am that I see in Him that I know is in me that I was sent to display? Because when I come back to worship, I see that I am. And it reminds me that I am commissioned me. You see, If he's the giver of dreams and I see the I am of the giver of dreams in me, then I know that my commission is to go and encourage people to dream. If I come and I see in him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know whether that is one of the series, but if it is, it should be. But I am the way, the truth, and the life. I know that I'm commissioned to be that for other people, to show other people the way, the truth, and the life. That whatever I am, I see in him that is reflected, as it were, in me is my assignment. And actually, in many respects, that's really what I am the King of Glory really means, is that whatever aspect of his glory I see that I am to carry, I see that every time I come back and worship. Does that make sense? And I love that passage. I love that God appears in a burning bush and says, tell them I am sent you. We are the sent ones. You and I, we're sent. We've been sent from heaven to earth to make earth like heaven. It's our apostolic assignment. And if you didn't think you were apostolic when you came in here this morning, can I just tell you, you are. It doesn't mean you're an apostle. It means you're apostolic. We're sent. We're sent to display the I am. We're sent to represent the I am. And I mean, Chloe's already hinted, we were involved in a tough day yesterday, and we lost somebody. We didn't see the victory that we wanted to see. We start singing Resurrection Power is in the Room. At that moment, a text comes through on my phone. It's a photograph of a baby. It's a photograph of a baby born today. That this time last year, that couple couldn't get pregnant. And we know the assignments that we're given. The incredible thing about the assignments of our life is that we will not be measured by the victories. We'll be measured by the faith. We'll be measured by the faith, because the victory isn't down to us, but faith is. Walking in faith is down to us. And he says, I am the King of Glory. I'm going to go a little bit different. I could teach about what is glory. I'm sure you'd like to know what glory is. It's one of the biggest words in the Bible that nobody really answers too much, but I had a go. I want to run with a few questions. I want to just play around with a few questions. You see, I am the King of Glory. Well, he's king. Let's start there. He's king. In some of the great dialogues around the trial and the death, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are questions. There are questions wrapped up around there. You see, Pilate nailed, didn't he? He nailed above the cross, King of the Jews. Afterwards, after it was nailed, they said, no, shouldn't you have put, he said he was the King of Jews. Pilate said, no, what I have written, I have written. You see, when we're able to answer these questions, I want to give you three questions this morning. Who is the King of Glory? What is truth? And who do you say that he is? In other words, Jesus addressed, who do you say that I am? He is the King of Glory. He's the King of Glory. But what does that mean? He's a different king is what it means. You see, you can read Psalm 24. And you can read, he's mighty, he's victorious, he's a warrior. And you can slip into the same kind of mistake, as it were, that the people who first heard it slipped into. And they were expecting a king on a horse, dressed in battle gear, and they were expecting that. And then we see another passage. We see the great passage of, well, Palm Sunday, I won't bother looking up. We see the great passage of Palm Sunday, where we're there in the streets of Jerusalem. They cut down the palm trees. Hosanna, Hosanna, they started shouting. And then, of course, he rides on a donkey. And not until after he died did it appear that they realized that he fulfilled every prophecy that it was said about him. You see, they were expecting one king. They were expecting this great, mighty warrior king who would ride on horseback. And then he comes. He's born in a manger. He's laid in a manger, this little baby. That's the prophesied one. And there are all these questions around him through his life. These questions, who is he?
And then as his life carries on, and then after, of course, he's crucified, as he's raised from the dead, it starts dawning them, everything that was prophesied about him, everything that was said, that's who he is. He might have ridden on a donkey. We were expecting a horse. No, he came on a donkey, but he still is who he said he is. You see, you have to answer these questions. You have to have some understanding. Who is this King of Glory? Let me run through a few things. He's a different king. He's not the king they expected. He's a different king, but king he is. King he is. No question, no doubt about it. He is the King of the Jews, and Pilate would say, "What I have written, I have written." Pilate would ask another incredible question. I think, personally, this is my personal opinion, I think one of the most important questions that anyone can ask today is this single question, because I believe that there is a revival coming which will hang on this question. What is truth? What is truth? And Jesus was silent. He had nothing to say because he'd already answered the question when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He couldn't answer a question. He didn't have to answer it. He'd already answered it by his life. He'd already said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." When Pilate said, "What is truth?" he'd already answered it. He just remained silent. "Look at me." You see, his answer is really wrapped up in this whole great passage, Psalm 24. He is the King of Glory. What does that mean? He's a different king. He's a different king. He didn't come riding on a horse as a warrior. He came in a manger. Laid in a manger, a tiny little baby laid in a manger. He's a different king. Why is he a different king? Because he has a different kingdom. It's a different kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of earth. It's not establishing rule by power. It's establishing rule by sacrifice. Establishing rule by the way that he would live his life, the way that he would lay down his life. He's a different king. With a different kingdom. He fights battles differently. They were waiting for him to come with sword lifted high. But he told Peter, "Put down your sword. We don't fight like that." He's different. You see, his glory is a different glory. Let me quickly, just because it would be rude of me not to at least address glory. What is this thing called glory? What is it? What is that word? It's one of the biggest words in the Bible. God, glory. Tell me something bigger than those two words. Tell me something that is bigger. We sing it. We'll stand in here probably at times. You know, we will dance for your glory. Let your glory fall. Let it go forth from here to the nations. We use this word all the time, this glory word. But what is it? What are we saying? What is he king of? You can easily jump on the, you know, we got the Winter Olympics at the moment. The glory of standing on the podium with the medal around your neck and the national anthem. We can make glory something like that. We can make glory something of fame, of fortune. We can make glory something luminous, something like, you know, the electric light bulb, and look up and there's a glory to it because it's so bright you can barely look at it. But what is the glory that he's king of? What is that? I believe it's this. I believe that God's glory is the result of God expressing himself. Which fits with Psalm 24, because he said the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So you see, the clue to the King of Glory is in the first half of the psalm. The second half of the psalm, who is this King of Glory? The answer's in the first half. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God's glory is the result of God expressing himself. When he expressed himself, glory happened. The more you understand God, the more you understand glory. Here's the incredible thing. When God expressed himself, you happened. You're the result of his expression. When he expressed himself, you happened. That means that the more you understand God, the more you understand glory. That actually means the more you understand you. The more you understand that you were made in the image of God, the more you understand that, the more you understand God, the more you understand God, the more you understand his glory. He's the King of Glory. That includes you. The earth's the Lord and everything in it. You're in it, aren't you? He's the King. He's a different King. He rules differently. He reigns differently. His kingdom looks different. He fights differently. He doesn't ride a big horse. He rides a donkey. You ask a man what is truth, and they'll probably come up with an argument. You ask Jesus what is truth, and he stands silent. You're looking at it. You're looking at truth. Is he your king? Is he your king? I honestly believe three questions this morning. Who is the King of Glory? What is truth? Who do you say he is? Who do you say? Because once you know who he is, you'll be commissioned to represent the King of Glory. God's glory is the result of God expressing himself. And you're the result of that. When he expressed himself, you happened. Made in his image, there's a glory in you. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, you were created for my glory. Wow. Psalm 16 says that my glory rejoices. That's the psalmist saying my glory rejoices. That means that you have a glory. Yeah. Revelation, the last chapter of Revelation, says that the 12 gates are 12 pearls through which the kings of the earth will take their glory with them. You're going to take your glory with you through a gate made of pearl, because you have a glory. You were created for glory. The kings of the earth, which is you and I, will take our glory with us. So what are we going to do while we're here on earth? How are we going to live our lives? I believe it's this. We're going to understand what this glory is that we carry. Remember what I said at the beginning? We worship him. We see the King of Glory. And as we worship him, we realize that the I am the King of Glory has commissioned us to go into the world to represent him and to carry glory with us on this earth. And that one day we'll walk through a gate of pearl with a bag of glory and we'll lay it at his feet. You see, you have a glory. You have a glory. You were made for glory. Your glory rejoices. You're going to take your glory with them. Don't believe that lie of the enemy that says you can't take it with you. That is an excuse for reckless expenditure at the mall with your husband's credit card. That is all it is, but it planted a seed. It's a lie that plants a seed, and the seed is, I can take nothing with me. It is a lie. It is a lie. You will take your glory with you. You will represent the King of Glory on this earth. You will pack your bag in however many years God grants you to walk on this earth. And you will one day take your glory through a gate made of pearl that was carved by the suffering of Jesus Christ. And you will take your bag of glory through that gate and you will lay it at the feet of the King of Glory. And for all eternity, there will be a repetitive story that is unfolded and replayed through all eternity. And it will cause all of heaven to be illuminated, because it will have no need of light, for the glory of the Lord will illuminate heaven. Who is the King of Glory? Who is he? Who is he? Is he your king? Thinking, it was a strange evening last night for many of us as we watched a young man end his days on this earth and be ushered in to the joy of his Savior. There's a strange thing happened, because in a hospital, at least five churches were represented as a global bride gathered together. And in a strange way, it's what heaven will look like. When a global bride gathers together, we might think that we don't know people, but all of a sudden, however many people gathered in a waiting room, most of us had never met each other, and yet we were all connected. All connected. Who is the King of Glory? He's our King. He's our King and he connects us. He joins us together. He unites us together. You see, you have a glory. You were made for glory. You were created for his glory. Your glory rejoices. You'll carry your glory with you. There's a stunning verse in Romans 3:23. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Here's the problem. Most people teach about repentance, and if that chair over there is sin, which is good because often I use this illustration, and there's somebody sitting over there, and I feel really bad when I use the illustration. But if that chair is sin, we've been taught to repent from it, haven't we? That's what we've been taught to do. It's like this psalm. It's like the psalm talks about who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. We've taught people to have clean hands and a pure heart, but we haven't kind of taken them to part two of the psalm. You see, all have sinned and fallen short, so we've taught people to repent from sin. And typically we get about this far, or we get about that far, because we either go one way or the other. We repent, we turn from sin, that's good. But the psalm says, Romans says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We have to repent from sin and unto glory. There are two parts to repentance. We repent from and we repent unto. Psalm 24, the way it's structured with this. The beginning is this great declaration. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. I'll read it in the American, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas, established it upon the rivers. This is a picture of the great glory of earth. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may get close to him? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek thy face, and then we're taken, as it were, from that. Clean your life up. Make sure you're clean. Make sure your heart's clean. Make sure your hands are clean. Make sure there aren't deceitful stuff coming out of your mouth. And then, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Because we're called not just to repent from sin, but to repent unto a greater plan, a greater purpose, a greater way of living our lives, filled with glory, to communicate to this earth who he is. You see, it's not just I am the King of glory. It's not just that. He wants to stamp us with it. He wants to impute it to us. As the old Bible says, Jesus imputed to us his righteousness. It's stamped on us to represent him, to show the world what he looks like. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty. But here's the incredible thing. He's a different king. He has a different kingdom. Do you know he has a different throne? He has a different throne. They were expecting a king to sit on this golden throne, weren't they? They were expecting that, all the pomp and all the ceremony and all of that stuff for this king, this one that was prophesied. But he didn't. He said, I'll destroy that temple. It'll be destroyed in 3 days. But in 3 days, I'll raise up a temple. They were looking for a building. They were looking for bricks. They didn't understand it. They didn't realize that the temple that he would raise up looked like you. Looks like you. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit and Christ in you, the hope of glory? He chose a different throne. He chose a throne in your heart, in my heart. He lives in you. He lives in me. I said that recently and I thought I should be able to sing the Lion King. He lives in you. You could probably do it, couldn't you? You could pull it off. The guy behind Chloe, I bet you could pull it off. You could sing that. I can see it on you as you're laughing. It's running through your head. But you see, he's the King of glory, but he's not the king they expected. I hope you're getting this. He's a different king with a different kingdom. He wears different armor. He carries different weapons. He fights battles differently. His kingdom looks different. And he's commissioned us to be the representatives of the King of Glory, to live our lives representing the King of Glory. He's commissioned us to go into all of the earth to represent the King of Glory. You have a glory. Your glory rejoices. You were created for glory. You've repented from sin and unto glory. You know who this King of Glory is. And he lives in you. And he sits on a throne inside of you. He chose a different temple. He wears a different crown. He makes different gates. Gates made of pearls. Do you know how those gates are formed? It's how pearls are formed. Pearls are formed because grit, pain, parasite, something gets inside of the oyster's shell. And layer by layer, day by day, the inside of the oyster secretes a substance called nacre. And day by day, layer by layer, it creates the beauty that is the pearl. It's imperfect. It's created over time. You see, that's what he did with his pain and suffering. He produced the pearl that would be the gate through which we would walk. Do you know that's how your life is too? Because if the King of Glory makes gates of pearls, did you know that you do too? Because the pain, the difficulties, the challenges of life, those bits of dirt and grit that get under our skin, when we submit them to the Holy Spirit, remember the inside of an oyster is called the mother of pearl. When we submit our pain, our difficulties, our challenges to the Holy Spirit, we allow the Holy Spirit to secrete, as it were, the nacre on our lives. That same substance, that same comfort that day by day and layer by layer, imperfectly, certainly, not perfect by any means, but layer by layer creates the pearl that is how we deal with pain on this earth. And we create pearls that can become gates through which other people can walk through, can take their pain and their difficulties, and they can walk through the pearls that we created with our lives, and they can step into their glory. You see, we're to represent the King of Glory. He deals with pain differently. Is he your King? Is he your King of Glory? Have you received the commission from him to personally represent him, the King of Glory, to this earth? There are so many ways of doing it. So many ways of doing it. You can do it through the fruits of the Spirit. You can do it through the gifts of the Spirit. You can do it through relationships. You can do it through service. You can do it through being willing to lay down your life. You can do it through the way that you walk through pain. You can do it with the gifts of your hands being made in his image by representing him. It doesn't matter how you do it. You just need to know who he is so that you connect your life to his and you know that I am the King of Glory has sent you to represent the King of Glory. There's no question that every one of us in the room, this room, can find a place, a reference point of pain, of difficulty in our lives. No question about it. But what have you done with it? If you submit it to the Holy Spirit, then you submitted it to the great Comforter. You submitted it to the one who will make a pearl out of your life. You see, he's a different king. It's a different kingdom. His kingdom's not made with bricks and mortar. It's made with the blood of the Lamb. Who is this King of Glory? They held up the palm branches. They waved him. And a week later, of course, they would stand, those same people. He'd be introduced as, this is the King of the Jews. And they would say, we have no king but Caesar. For 2,000 years, the temptation has been, no, we'll find our own king. We'll find another king. We'll find someone else to worship. But there's only one King of Glory. There's only one whose name is Truth. Yeah. Only one. And there's only one that we can give our lives to.
another great passage from Jesus. It's pretty close to him saying, I'm the King of Glory. It's not, as far as I can see, anything that he ever said. It's pretty close. Matthew 25, when I come back, he said, when I come back with all of the host of heaven, with all of the glory on display, imagine the great backdrop of all of the glory of heaven, of everything that's ever been done, everything ever accomplished, the great glory of heaven. That's what he said, with all the glory of heaven on display. That's what he said. When I come back, and that's the backdrop, not a green screen, everything. He said, I'm going to stand in front of the nations, and I'm going to say this. Did you give food to the hungry, clothes to the naked, water to the thirsty? Did you visit the prisoner? And did you visit the sick? Because inasmuch as you did that to them, you saw that in the least before you saw that. Did you learn to recognize glory? Because I'm the King of Glory. It doesn't look like pomp and ceremony. It doesn't look like gold medals on a podium. It doesn't look like luminescent light bulbs. It looks like the least. It looks like your ability to recognize that in the least, the very least, they're made in my image. That in every human being that ever was, that ever is, that ever will be, there's a gold coin, as it were. Everyone. And our task is to recognize that coin, that imprint of God. Jesus did. Jesus did. You see, he said, there's the backdrop, this great backdrop. Did you see that in the least before you saw that? Because this is what Jesus did. Jesus governed not from up here. He didn't do that. He didn't rule from up here. He's a different king. He ruled from here. He took this place, the lowest place, and from there, everyone was above him. Everyone was above him. Every gold coin in every human being, as it were, every mark of being made in the image of God, everything that said that person is valuable to me, to Father God in heaven, was above Jesus. He looked up. It's the only place he could look, because he took the lowest place and he looked up and he said, everyone's gold coin is in these scales, and I stand on the other scale and I die. Because they're worth it. I die because they're worth it. I die because they're little kings and queens of glory. And I died because they're worth it, not because they're worthless. And that's why he said, did you see that they were worth it before you saw that? We can all get excited when we've seen that. But did you see it in the broken, in the lost? Did you see it in the ones that hate their own lives? Did you see it in the prisoner? Did you see it? Did you see the kings and queens of glory walking around amongst you? He's the King of Glory. He rules differently. He reigns differently. He governs differently. He's a different king. He's got a different crown. He's got a different throne. He's the King of Glory. His truth, this King of Glory. And we get this incredible privilege to represent him, to live our lives representing him, walking by faith and not by sight, walking out of the prophetic words that we've been given, even though they make no sense today, even though what we saw yesterday is not what the prophecy said we will see, but we choose to walk by faith and not by sight. We choose not to be ruled by the clock of this earth, but by the clock of heaven, the kingdom clock of heaven. You see, I think you can sum up the King of Glory in one word: different. He's a different king with a different kingdom, with different rules, and different map references, a different clock. And he's given that all to us. And he said, live life like that. You see, the human way of looking at yesterday's loss is, I'm not sure whether I'm going to try again. But the King of Glory's way is completely different. Because the King of Glory's way says this: greater works than these shall you do. He said to the disciples, you've seen dead raised, you've seen blind eyes open, you've seen 5,000 fed, you've seen leprosy healed, you've seen water turned into wine, but greater works than these shall you do. And we get to represent the King of Glory. We get to walk this earth in our brokenness, in our feeble ways. We sometimes let him down. We let each other down. We're not perfect, but we're privileged to have been made perfect by Jesus, by the King of Glory. Passion Translation put it well. Wake up, you living doors. Wake up, you gates. Wake up, wake up, wake up. The King of Glory is coming into town. He looks like the person next to you. I believe today there are some. And as I've answered those questions, you need to know that you've answered them right. You just do. You just need to know. Somehow there's some here. You're struggling with what the old preachers would have called the assurance of salvation. Some of you are in that category. You see, as I've asked three questions, what is truth, who is the King of Glory, and who do you say? Some of you need to know that you've answered those questions for certain. Maybe for the first time, or maybe for the 50th time. It doesn't matter. You just need to know that only one thing matters. When everything is said and done, only one thing matters. Have you said yes to the King of Glory? Have you invited Jesus, the King of Glory, to take your gold coin and know that you were counted in? Is anyone in that category? And I think I'm in the group of people these days who's given up with heads bowed. I think I've given that one up. Is there anyone in here and you need to be able to say today for certain, whether it's for the first time or the 50th time, I want to say a resounding yes to the King of Glory. I want to say yes to a Jesus who didn't rule from a throne up here, but ruled from down there, who wore a different crown, a crown of thorns, who was nailed to a cross for me. You want to say yes to him today, I want to invite you to stand. Bless you, sir. Is there anyone else? Maybe you've said it before. Maybe as I'm speaking, you're thinking, I need to up my game. I've been a bit sleepy. I need to wake up. That wake up piece of this message was for me. Wake up, you living gates. Wake up. Wake up. Maybe today you need to say, you can have it all, as Brian Johnson wrote. every part of my world. Take this life. Maybe that's you. Is anyone in that category? I don't know whether you want to come up to the front, sir. Maybe the others would want to first, but I do want to make sure that we pray for you separately. Maybe Tom can come out and just stand with this man who stood first. You're welcome to come out and receive prayer. Is there anyone else you want to just say a resounding yes today? Just stand if you're able to. Somehow this feels like a day of rededication, of saying a 100% yes. If there's been any doubt in the way you've walked your Christian life, if you're questioning whether or not you're making a difference, I want to invite you to stand, to say a resounding yes, to lay it all down to the King of Glory. You can have it all. Every part of my world. Take this life. Take this life. Father, I'm asking you to receive everyone that's standing. Asking for these gates to be so fully woken up and alive that together we'll see the King of Glory come into this land, into this great nation. Because I believe it's revival time. With my whole heart, I believe it's revival time. Wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of Victory. Just welcome him in right now. Just begin to say, come in, King of Glory. Come in, Lord of Victory. Come in, step inside of my heart, my life. I believe there are calls being released right now. I believe there are calls being released. Are they not Siberia necessarily? Could be. But I just think they're calls to represent the King of Glory. To represent this King of Glory. Is truth. And who do you say that I am? He's the King of Glory. You can all carry on receiving, but maybe we could all stand for a moment. I believe it's time to pray. I believe it's time to pray for a revival of truth. See, truth isn't an argument. Truth isn't something you learn from a textbook. Truth isn't something that you understand because you've got a degree in theology. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And I can't go into it all, but I do believe that there is a revival coming and it will be marked by truth. I believe it will be marked by truth, integrity, and trust, actually. Those are the three things that I believe. I believe he's raising up a church that will be known for truth. A church that will not compromise on truth. A church of integrity. And a church that can be trusted. See, I believe it's the picture of Esther and a king. A king who lifted up a scepter and said, Esther, come over here. The world is the king and Esther is the bride. And the world is looking for truth, integrity, and trust. It's looking for it. And I believe that there is something going on here today where you can position yourself and say, you are truth, and I will walk in integrity, and I will be trustworthy. And the world will be able to come and meet the King of Glory because of me. Father, I pray.
you would set us apart today. Just set yourselves apart for him just for a moment before I hand back. Is anyone here today struggle with infertility? I want you to come to the front. Because I wouldn't be walking in integrity if I didn't pray for you today. Is anyone here with cancer or a terminal illness? I want you to come to the front. Come to the front if that's you. If you have an incurable illness, something like diabetes, come to the front. You need the King of Glory to invade your body. You need the King of Glory to invade your reproductive system. You need the King of Glory to destroy cancer. Any of those, just come to the front. And if there's anyone here with back problems, you have a back problem, discs, come to the front. Any prolapsed discs, any discs out of point, out of whack, whatever the technical term is. A lot of you with back problems, just line straight up across the front. If you have a specifically have a back problem, and if you have, how many of you have got actually a disc that's prolapsed or a disc out of line? All right, just come. I want the disc to come and stand together, as it were. I had this picture 2 weeks ago in Norway. It was a very simple picture. It was a DVD player. The DVD player, the disc was out. I know this sounds weird. I just said it's as easy as pressing the button and the disc go back in. Lady came up to me at the end of that meeting and she said, I can't do this. She couldn't do that before. She said, I pressed the button. You know, the little button with the triangle and the line underneath, you know? Pressed the button and the disc went back in her back. That's weird for me because I'm logical, lateral, you know, guy. But, hey, press the button. Father, press the button on every one of these backs. Press the button right now. Discs go back into place. Backs realigned. Right now, this day, this moment, you're the King of Glory. The earth's the Lord and everything in it. You're the King. You're the King. You're the Healer King. It's who you are. Right now, put your hand wherever the worst pain is on your back. There's a ton of back problems. That's good. That means he's up to something. Take care of these backs. Every disc realigned right now. Pain go. Trapped nerves released. Inflammation stops right now. Check it out, see what how it's going, see how the pain's going, see if you there's anything you can do that you couldn't do before. Just check it out. Was anybody up here for anything else? Infertility, cancer, incurable illnesses, or you all came up for back problems? All right. Just extend your hands to everyone here with these back problems. Press the eject button. I know it's we're putting it back in, but it's that button. Because when you press it after it's out, it goes back in, all right? Press it. Press it by faith. Press it in the spirit. Press that button. Discs realign right now. Is there a nurse here and you hurt your back lifting patients? Is there a nurse? Somebody here hurt their back lifting a person then in that way, another person. Okay. Just check out your back. How's it going? Stick your hand up in the air if it's in any way better, if the pain's less, if you've got more mobility. Today we
choose to live for one thing, King of Glory, to represent you. Because you're the King of Glory. You heal. You love. You bring peace. You bring breakthrough. You deliver the oppressed. You give sight to the blind. We choose to live and represent you today.